father shared the following story about his son. Shay and I walked past a park where some boys Shay knew were playing baseball. "Do you think they'll let me play?" he asked. I knew most of the boys would not want Shay on their team, given his physical and mental disabilities. But I also realized, as a father, if he were allowed to play, it would give him a much-needed sense of belonging and confidence in being accepted by others. I approached one of the boys on the field and asked if Shay could play. The boy looked around for guidance and said, "We're losing by 6 runs and we're in the 8th inning. I guess he can be on our team and we'll try to put him to bat in the 9th inning. Shay struggled over to the team's bench and with a broad smile put on the team's shirt. I watched with a small tear in my eye and warmth in my heart. The boy saw my joy at my son being accepted. In the bottom of the 8th, Shay's team scored some runs but was still behind by 3. In the top of the 9th, Shay put on a glove and played in right field, grinning from ear to ear. And I waved to him from the stands. In the bottom of the 9th, Shay's team scored again. Now with 2 outs and bases loaded, the potential winning run was on base, and Shay was scheduled to be next at bat. Would they let Shay bat, giving away their chance to win the game, since Shay didn't even know how to handle a bat properly, much less connect with the ball? So what would they do with Shay? Last week, I began a series of reflection with you on the vision of St. John's, and we focused on Embrace God last week, and today I want to spend some time with you on the second part of our vision, Love Your Neighbor. You'll notice in your bulletins, right above the announcements, there's a sentence there, "Love your neighbor by sharing the spiritual journey of fellowship, learning, and care." And as we reflected last week, the foundational verse for St. John's comes from Matthew 22:37. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, which is what we're focusing in on today. You know, it's interesting, as Jesus shared a summation of the law and the prophets, he came in with the second part of this, to love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, the second is like unto the first commandment, which is a very powerful thing for our Lord to say. What he was basically saying is that loving your neighbor is incredibly important and very much linked with your love of God. In fact, if you look at the Ten Commandments, the first 3 are related to our relationship with God and loving him, what that looks like. The remaining 7 have to do with loving your neighbor. Now, I don't know about you, but I would think that with only having 10 commandments, God would have had 8 about how to love him and maybe 2 about everybody else. But God didn't do it that way. There's only 3 commandments in the 10 commandments about directions on loving God. The other 7 are about how you're to love your neighbor. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not commit adultery. Do not covet your neighbor's goods. And so again, this idea of loving our neighbor to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is very, very important. Very important. And so hear what, in this verse, what Jesus is saying to us. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. And I began to think about that over the past couple of weeks, and I thought, well, what does that look like? Well, what are the ways in which we love ourselves? Well, I'm sure we all know a person who is a legend in their own mind, right? I guess that's one of the ways that some people love themselves. Another way in which we love ourselves is we demonstrate care to ourselves. We enjoy our jokes, even maybe if some people don't laugh at them. We do. We enjoy them. We pamper ourselves. We make excuses for ourselves, and we're generous with ourselves. And these are all good and beautiful things. As part of being a human being, is being open to realizing the beauty of you and that there are things about you that are lovely and beautiful and good. That's a very healthy thing. And I think another way in which we love ourselves is through forgiveness. We're more than willing to forgive ourselves for all kinds of things, whether we've done them intentionally or not. Lying, gossip, anger, I blew it, lust, whatever, you just fill it in there. We can say, you know what? I've confessed it to the Lord, and the Lord forgave me, and so I forgive myself. You know, everybody's a human being. Things happen. And that's how life is. And so what Jesus is saying in this summation of the law and the prophets, love your neighbor as yourself, is simply this. He's saying, I want you to love your neighbor the way you love yourself. It's not complicated. You know, if you're trying to make it complicated, you're probably trying to make an excuse for what you're doing. It's not complicated. It's very simple. Love your neighbor just like you love yourself. And in fact, if you look at the words for love, in love for God and love for your neighbor, it is the same word in the Greek. It's the Greek word agapeo, which means the unconditional love of God, which means there is a spiritual gift that is given to believers to be able to love God, and also a spiritual ability to be given to us to be able to love our neighbor. You know, let's be honest, there's some people that you just don't like, and there's some people that just don't like you. Welcome to being a human being. That's how it is. And the good news I have for you here today is that by God's grace and God's love in you, the unconditional love of God, you're able to bring his love into that situation. And so when you're honest with God and say to God, you know what, there's no way I can really love this person. And besides, they don't really love me anyways, and we don't get along. You've come to a wonderful opportunity in your life to be a vessel for the agape love of God, the agape love of God to come through you and love through you in that situation that is not humanly impossible. And so this summation of the law in Matthew 22, where Jesus is calling us to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves, is something that can only be divinely realized through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's a wonderful thing. So if you're struggling with somebody right now, and you've been unable to love them, you've come to the right place today. Let me just share with you, yes, you're unable to love them. It's humanly impossible for you to do that. All human beings struggle with that to one degree or another, but you don't have an excuse anymore. You can say, Lord, I can't love this person. I need your love in me to love them through me, the agape love of God. And that's something you and I can do, and it's a very, very powerful thing to do. So why don't we love in this way? Well, sometimes we're unforgiving. Sometimes we're angry. Sometimes we're full of pride. It's our ego. Or again, we just don't like them. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people that we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? 1 John 4:20. So again, God's not letting us off the hook on this one. And this is very important to the Lord. And one of the powerful things is that as you and I are open to God's love moving through us, and especially in situations where there is difficulty and love is absent, very powerful things take place. What happens is, as you and I are open to the agape love of God through our hearts and loving our neighbors and loving those that are difficult, heaven comes through you. God's love through you changes the situation because God's love can move in the most amazing places, in the places that you and I wouldn't even think of God's love moving. Shea was given the bat. And as he stepped to the plate, the pitcher recognized that the other team was putting aside winning for this moment in Shea's life. He moved a few steps closer and lobbed the ball softly so Shea could make contact. He missed the ball. The pitcher took a few steps closer and tossed the ball softly to Shea again. He swung and hit a ground ball to the pitcher. The game would now be over as the pitcher could easily throw him out. Instead, the pitcher threw the ball over the first baseman's head, and everyone in the stands and on both teams started yelling, Shea, run to first. Never in his life had Shea run that far, but he made it to first base, wide-eyed and startled. Then everyone yelled, run to second. Run to second. Shea awkwardly ran to second, gleaming and struggling to make it to the base. By now, the center fielder had the ball, and as Shea rounded the third base, the center fielder could have been the hero for his team. Following the pitcher's lead, he threw the ball over the third baseman's head. As Shea rounded third base, the boys from both teams and the spectators were all screaming, "Shea, run home, run home." Shea ran to home and was cheered the hero who hit the grand slam and won the game for his team. His father, with tears streaming down his face, celebrated the boys from both teams who helped bring a piece of true love and humanity to the world that day. Shea didn't make it to another summer. He died that winter, having never forgotten being the hero and making me so happy, and coming home and seeing his mother tearfully embrace her little hero of the day. A true story about the power of love. May God give us the grace to love our neighbors. Amen.